I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in. Hi there, it's Jody, the mom side of Mom and Doc Talk. Dr. Barr and I are taking a short summer break to soak up some family time, and we hope you are too. While we're away, we're bringing back some of your favorite episodes, especially powerful stories from parents who've been where you are and found their way forward with homeopathy. We hope these episodes give you a little extra hope and a reminder that healing is possible. The Mom and Doc Talk podcast is brought to you by Resilience Naturopathic, a team of naturopathic doctors specializing in helping children with PANS pandas heal through classical homeopathy. Our providers are supported by a team made up largely of PANS parents, so we truly understand what you are going through. We work with families around the world and are determined to change how PANS families experience healthcare. You can learn more about us at resiliencenaturopathic.com. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome. We are so excited to kick off this second season of Mom and Doc Talks with a topic that is just so vital to every single conversation that we have on this podcast, with very few exceptions where we have a couple of things that are maybe about stuff that impacts PANS pandas families, but not so much about healthcare, but about, you know, things overall. If it's about your health, this topic is a fundamental thing to really understand. Mm-hmm. And that topic is susceptibility. Jody, I'm looking at you because you were the one who said, we got to talk about this as our first thing when we come back. And I'm remembering that first time I did a video in our Facebook group that was not necessarily like about susceptibility, but it was about susceptibility. And it was, we'll get there in just a second, but you were just like mind blown. This was like the you said, this is the first time I have really, truly understood what sets homeopathy aside, why it's working differently, like why we're doing the things we're doing, and how important it really is. Even though my kid is already healed and mm-hmm. my kid is doing better, now I see why you were asking some of the questions you were asking, or the way, like all the stuff around it. So, anything you want to share before I dive into like what I talked about on that video, and then we can give context for things?
I just feel like, kind of reiterating what you just said, I feel like this is the most important topic, and it literally answers all of my why questions that I had. Why are symptoms coming back? Why is it helping like whatever I'm doing? Why is it helping a little bit, but not helping more? Why is my kid a little better, but also not the person that she was before? Like there was all of these questions, and there was so much confusion that I had whenever we were in the beginning of Avery's journey and kind of navigating through all the different treatments and figuring out. And even really honestly, when we started homeopathy, because you spent years trying to teach me about susceptibility, and I didn't understand what susceptibility was until I actually saw what susceptibility healed looked like. And then something that you said in that video like clicked. So for us, it was the missing piece that I was constantly looking for. And I saw that video and I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is literally what every single one of us is trying to figure out for our kids, but it's a difficult concept to understand. So I'll let you dive into explaining it.
All right. I'll do my best. And so the original video that was like the first time I ever really like brought this concept of susceptibility as it relates to healing PANS and pandas was in response to a question that was, what should I address first? Should I address the mycoplasma? Should I address the strep? Should I address the Lyme? And my answer was, none of that actually matters. It doesn't not matter, but it's not, if you address that, you're not actually going to lead to the place where you're getting ultimately what you want, which is for these to not be a problem, right? So the reality is we're going to be exposed to infections. And like, let's be honest, I have never seen a kid that is just pandas, right? I have never seen a kid. It might start with pandas where strep is the trigger, the clear identifiable trigger. I've never seen a kid who doesn't also have reactivity to other things. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist, because a lot of people don't find their way to me until lots of other things have failed them and they've reached a level of complexity that is just beyond what the other systems are able to address. So I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I have never seen it where somebody doesn't eventually have other things that are part of their overall picture and their challenge. What we need to address is not the Lyme, not the strep, not the mold, not the, you know, we need to address the susceptibility to having this atypical response. And so the way I explain this to people is that strep is not the problem, the susceptibility is, because if strep was the problem, we would all have pandas every time we get strep. That would be the typical way of responding. And so it's not the strep that is responsible for pandas. It's the trigger, but it's the susceptibility to this atypical immune response, this atypical misdirected immune response that tends to broaden over time. And so you'll see that if you're not addressing the susceptibility, the immune system is going to find more ways to be like, hey, pay attention. And like, there's something going on here and you're missing it. It's not this particular thing, something else is going to become part of the problem. That's why you see if somebody has Lyme as their trigger, mold becomes a problem almost invariably, right? And things get to be intermingled. If somebody has mold as part of their challenge, they tend to become more susceptible to getting lots of illnesses everywhere. Mm-hmm. Another place to really look at this too is that susceptibility, people will oftentimes go to like, do you mean genetics? Is this genetic susceptibility? Am I always going to be like this? And genetics is part of it. Yes, but it's not the totality, right? There are certain things that genetics are the be-all, end-all. If you have these genes, you will get this disease. But that's very, very few and far between. And most of those, I would say, are actually even chromosomal as much or more than they are genetic, right? So if you have an extra chromosome or you're missing a chromosome, you're going to have certain presentations and there's nothing that anything can be done about it. That's just the way it's going to be. But even with genetics, there's this whole realm of epigenetics that it switches genes on and off, and that's related to our diet, our lifestyle. You know, we give the example of like the BRCA gene. It does not guarantee you're going to get breast cancer if you have the BRCA gene. It's far more likely that you are, but you have to be a lot more conscientious about your epigenetics, your lifestyle, your stress management, all of these things that can trigger these genes that are more risky to be switched on so that we then have this uncontrolled reproduction of cells. But it's even like on a more simple level, like if you just think about the last time a cold went through your house, Jody, every single person gets sick. Or was it a couple of people got sick and others didn't? So we have in the moment susceptibility that can be impacted by, are we susceptible to this particular virus at this time? So think about it too. And even with the virus itself, like, so if you had a whole bunch of people in your house, say like, you know, you have four or five people living in your house, two or three people get the cold, two or three people don't. But even among the two or three people who are getting it, they have it different, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually not the exact same thing. It's like one has more respiratory symptoms, the other has more like upper like head and sinus symptoms. And it's this clearly the same infection. So there's susceptibility to getting sick in the first place. And then there's susceptibility for how sickness is presented in each person, even if it's the same thing. And this is what homeopathy addresses. There's diet and lifestyle and other things that are related to it too, because the reality is, I mean, how many times, Jody, have you had happen that as we're recording this, you're coming off of a really stressful time with work where you've had very busy days, some stuff at home that has just been, you've been insanely busy. Let's knock wood, because you are currently, because of the way your life has been, more susceptible to getting sick at this moment, right? Mm-hmm. How many times like you studying for finals or when you were back in school or you were doing this big project and like you're go, 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 go. And like, I just have to get this done and I'm going on vacation. And then boom, you get sick on vacation. Mm-hmm. And it's because you have worn yourself down and gotten to the point that in that moment, because of the things that have preceded it, you are more susceptible to something, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So susceptibility is about, yes, there's a genetic susceptibility. There's innate susceptibility that you are more likely, when you have something going on, you're going to have more cardiovascular concerns, you're going to have more respiratory concerns, you're going to have more musculoskeletal concerns, more neurological concerns, et cetera. So there's that that's like just innate and or genetic susceptibility. Then there's environmental susceptibility, circumstantial susceptibility. And the one thing that really addresses that is homeopathy. So I'm going to pause because I just said a whole lot of things and give you a chance to like, one, either clarify anything I've said or like bring the mom side of things here.
I think bringing the mom side, because I've spent years working with resilience and trying to explain this to moms. And I think for me, I needed, in order to understand and comprehend and also be able to communicate it, I need the most dumbed down version I can possibly get. And I think for me, that is the fact that my child has dysfunction in her body. Like there is something going wrong. It's not working together. It's not working correctly, whatever it might be. What I know is Pan's moms and dads, that as soon as we see the problem, kind of find out, you know, where we're at as far as Pan's, we immediately go into figuring out, like hardcore figuring out what all that dysfunction is. And I don't know that any of us are able, ever going to be able to put our finger on exactly what it is. You know, for Avery, it was MTHFR. It was the infections. It was a little bit to do with a last vaccination, a little bit or a lot to do with the mold that we had been living in. Some things to do that included stress. There's no way I could have put my finger on all of that, even with a whole lot of testing that we did. It was just truly dysfunction. Like her body wasn't functioning correctly. And going through mainstream medical and functional medicine, those things were all suppressing, which at the time felt good because we were getting a break, or temporarily creating something that was a little bit better in her body. But ultimately, that is not what I wanted for Avery. I wanted her to be back the way she was. And the only way to get there was by addressing the dysfunction in her body. And that's where homeopathy comes in. Again, I still didn't get what this was until we got all the way through healing and Avery lost a tooth without regressing, which was like the most mind-blowing thing to me. And then Avery got a cold and she was totally fine. And then she got strep. And then she also got the flu. And so, and I'm talking about over a long period of time, this wasn't all back to back, because I was also seeing her immune system working better, like knowing she was in a classroom full of people that had whatever it was. At one point, it was COVID. And seeing her come home and feeling a little worn down and run down. And then the next day, she feels completely fine and she's ready to go and she doesn't get sick. I just saw it over and over, going swimming without having like a crazy flare, because all of a sudden, whatever her body had been doing with chlorine, it was no longer doing it. It was doing the correct thing. So it's about correcting, and especially MTHFR, you know, I can talk about that all day long. Like that was such a nightmare before homeopathy and going slowly through homeopathy. And now seeing the fact that whatever was going wrong in her methyl cycle is not going wrong anymore. It's working great all by itself. Like trying to put our finger on what the dysfunction is so hard, like what the problem is. And also we know the triggers are going to keep coming. There is going to be exposures to infection. There is going to be exposure to mold, which we've had two of since Avery's been healed, and her body handled them fantastically. She did well. So again, another sign that before she was susceptible to this misguided immune response with mold, she is no longer, because she has been exposed and doesn't have that same reaction. Same thing with literally everything. I don't know if that was a good summary, but I just feel like the most dumbed down thing is it's dysfunction. It's a lot with our kids, and homeopathy can help change how their bodies are functioning.
Yeah. I think one of the important things to recognize is that, as you said, when we're using conventional approaches, functional approaches, other natural integrative approaches, that they can help for sure. It's that they're suppressing or palliating things or forcing things with like the biochemistry. So we're using high doses of nutrients to force a biochemical pathway that is not, that we don't believe is operating as optimally as it possibly can. So we're just like, just give it more, give it more, give it more, make it go. Where homeopathy comes in to say, wait, why aren't you going the way you should be? And one of the challenges that I think can happen is that when you're dealing with something as intense and as serious and as severe as PANS can get and as like life altering as PANS can be, we get blinders on. And all we can think about is what's going on with our family and our kid and trying to get this to stop, get them their lives back, get us our lives back, you know, get things back on track. And so I think that there's, for some people, the capacity to pause and say, okay, my kid has MTHFR. And it's like, okay, is this going to be the answer? Instead of, wait, where did this came from? One of us? Do we have the same symptoms? Or how many people in the world have MTHFR and have very, very different presentations for their having the MTHFR variants that my kid has? Like, they don't all have PANS, just like every person who gets strep doesn't have PANDAS. You know, we have the typical immune response. So even if that's part of the overall picture, it's not the picture, right? And so I think that it's so easy to grasp onto, but what about this? And what about this? And we have to address this. And we have to address this. And it comes so much from a place of, one, just not understanding homeopathy, at least in the United States, where we're based. We don't have a really strong understanding of homeopathy, though we're working to change that. So that's part of it. And the another part is just like when things feel so out of control in our lives, what do? We all like grasp for control in any place that we possibly can. And when you're seeing things spiral for your kids and your family, it is 100% understandable that you want to just get what you can to make it stop and then try to feel like you have some sort of control for this, because it's not always, it's, when you have the first flare, it's about making the stop and go away. And for, I haven't met a single person yet who hasn't had a flare and like, oh, hooray, we figured this out. We got antibiotics. And like, this is it, that we just had to treat that and we don't have to worry about it again. We're fine until the next flare comes. And then the next flare. And then suddenly things that weren't a trigger before are now a trigger. And the medications that were helpful in the previous flare are not quite as helpful. So we go from like, you know, antibiotics are miraculous. And on 24 hours on antibiotics, everything is gone, to, oh, here we are again. No, easy peasy. This is just how my kid reacts to strep. I just need to go get another round of antibiotics. No problem. We get the same antibiotics that were miraculous before. And this time, only 80% of the symptoms get better and we still are seeing things. And then we get off the antibiotics and we're not as good as we were before the flare started. And then we have another episode and suddenly the antibiotics don't work. So we need to add a second antibiotic. And we just start like having less and less effective treatments and things are expanding and broadening out. All right. And so we start to like try and grasp for everything we possibly can to control when we feel like things are just spiraling out of control, that things that were working aren't working. And like, so we keep digging, what underlying thing could it possibly be? And these are really useful things to uncover, especially like genetic variants that can, you know, from a homeopathic perspective, we've got some episodes in our last season on it and some coming up as well on genetics and really understanding the variants. So if you're not really sure what we're talking about when we say MTHFR, look back and we'll put some links to some show notes that could be, or some links to some episodes that could be useful. And then also look forward, because we've got two episodes coming up there about genetics and genomics in particular that will be really helpful. All this to say, those can be really useful things to understand from a standpoint of like information to have about your health and maybe some things you need to avoid, but it's not necessarily a thing to like try and control, because it can also backfire for lots of reasons that we'll talk about in our upcoming episode. I don't want to get too far off track here, because you know how I could be, Jody. I could just go off.
I was about to go off track with you, because we talked about something a while back that's important here, because I think as parents, when you tell us not, like you were talking about your first video and you're talking about, do I treat this? Do I treat that? When we're told no, it's not that. It's kind of hard, and sometimes we get offended. But even kind of, I had a light bulb moment last time I was visiting you and talking about how parents get upset when you tell them not to treat something, because we feel like with homeopathy that we're not treating it. Like if we're not giving antibiotics, we're not treating it. And so I'm just like letting my kids sit there with perianal strep or parasites or whatever it is. And you said to me, just because you're doing homeopathy doesn't mean you're not treating it. Or you said something like that. And I was like, oh, wait, we're totally treating it with homeopathy. It's just a slower process. And so it feels like we're not doing anything, but we actually are. I'm going to let you take over because you explained it really well. And my brain
is not even necessarily slower. It's so like, so the reality is like having an acute homeopathy can actually be faster than a lot of the other things. And it is still addressing it. It's just, it's instead of treating it by going in with a bomb to say, I'm going to kill all of the things that have invaded my body, it's going in and using diplomacy and saying, hey, immune system, how about you get together and you do the job that you're supposed to be doing and let's do this appropriately and get this taken care of. And so it's still treating it. It's just using a different approach. And so that I do think is an important concept to understand that like when you are addressing susceptibility using homeopathy, you are taking care of all the other things. So it's when the question is, should I treat this first, treat this first, treat this first? It's like, well, by addressing the susceptibility, you're still addressing all of those things. So it's not that you're not treating them. You're just addressing them using a different approach that is still helpful. I feel, of course, like we need to acknowledge that there is the time and place for appropriate use of antibiotics and other therapies, just depending on what's going on with your kiddo. The reality is some people do way worse on antibiotics, and homeopathy is so effective for helping even in acute active infections. For some kids, it works way better. In some cases, we don't like, I personally don't like to mess around with strep because it can be such a nasty and insidious thing that I like to use antibiotics both for my family and my kid. And I recommend for my clients that if we don't have a worsening from antibiotics in the history, and especially if we're newer, that we don't want to get started and just rely exclusively on homeopathy and take any risks with antibiotics. Because with antibiotics, we are going in with a bomb, right? And with homeopathy, we're going in with diplomacy. So we have to find the right fit. And even the best homeopath is not always going to get the right fit right away. You know, we're pretty good and we get it most of the time. But you know, I'm humble enough to just be like, I don't have the confidence. I am for sure going to get the right thing. And there's this really effective tool that we've got that could prevent other problems. So, so in certain situations, strep being the primary one where we've got a 4-day window to get antibiotics started before we have lots of risks for complications, I'm looking at antibiotics because I don't want there to be a delay that is unnecessary. But for other things where antibiotics are like less effective or the time frame is different, you know, Lyme is one of those things that antibiotics are like not that useful in a lot of cases because of the way that the spirochete works and everything. There's the right place for it, but especially when you get into the chronic space, may or may not be as helpful. Whereas getting your body to fight it off on its own is really, really powerful and really helpful because you're both addressing the infection and you're working on addressing that, like the totality of everything that's going on that is the susceptibility.
I think that's one of the coolest things is because like with me, I have Lyme, or we can use Avery. Avery has Lyme and Avery has had Epstein-Barr. And I don't know the like doctory part of this. Like from my understanding is those infections stay in the body. However, I know that her immune system is working so well now that it is able to keep those things at bay. And I would imagine if anything was ever re-triggered, that it would be much less in intensity than before and would be a lot easier to go back in with homeopathy and just kind of get it back under control if we needed to. But the fact that her immune system is doing its thing all by itself and I'm not having to support it and her methyl cycle and everything. And to me, this feels like a huge, huge deal because I used to spend so much time worrying about her future. like what managing Pans would look like whenever she leaves the home. There was a window where I worried about that. But more than that is worrying about what it looked like when she had children, when she was older, her, you know, her future health, and changing her susceptibility has removed that worry for me. It's taken like this tremendous weight that I was carrying around as a mom, being worried about what I had given her through genetics and my own poor health and what she was moving into the future. And now all of that is good. And I do nothing to support it anymore. I just
don't do nothing. You avoid the things that are not good for it.
Yeah.
Which much like, so we need to give ourselves credit for the things where we can, right? Like, so using homeopathy won't ever make it okay for somebody who has an MTHFR variant that slows down processing. It's not going to make it okay to just eat folic acid enriched foods all the time, right? So you still are going to need to avoid the things that can gum up the works. But if you are avoiding the things that are gumming up the works, then your body can incorporate the nutrients that it needs without needing to take like massive amounts of expensive vitamins that you're peeing out most of the stuff that you're taking, any potentially causing downstream effects where you're overdoing it on one side and making things worse downstream, which is happens so much more often than people, I think, realize. I can't tell you how many people we've worked with that flares calm down when they stop taking their methylated multivitamin.
I think I'm like feeling like a bad mom right now because I don't avoid all of those things. Avery has a couple of things with that I know have folic acid and she eats them. And the cool thing is she's like, she's okay. I should avoid them, but bad mom.
But that's the thing.
I can't control. That's it right there.
So it's about like, she's never going to do great if that's all she eats. Like, you know, so like she, if susceptibility is not like, when we address susceptibility with homeopathy, it's not going to make us invincible. All right. And so we're not trying to say that. It's not going to make it so that you are suddenly a superhuman and you never get sick. You never feel sad. You never feel angry. You sleep perfectly all the time. You have the exact perfect ideal body weight. And, you know, like you don't have to do anything and you can eat Fruit Loops all day, every day. And that's it. So the reality is we still have to like live a health promoting lifestyle. We still have to like avoid obstacles to our health. But when an obstacle does come up, it is less impactful. You know, like I just got off the phone with a client and I was like, their kiddo was able to do a lot more gluten. And like they've been having gluten like every single day for weeks and months at a time. One parent was saying, oh, I think we need to really avoid gluten. And the other parent was like, but I was really happy that gluten wasn't a problem until recently. So all this to say that the reality is we want people to be able to have things that maybe are not like perfect health promoting activities, lifestyle, foods, whatever, and for it to not be disruptive. That said, we don't want to have those things be our entire life, because if we don't have the foundations for health, we're not going to be healthy regardless of what we have with homeopathy. Homeopathy addresses the susceptibility to atypical immune response, to atypical responses in general. It's not just Pans and Pandas that homeopathy is helpful with. It's not just susceptibility in that regard, because think about it again, like we talk about the MTHFR, some people have heart stuff that comes up as their primary example of MTHFR variants. For some people, it's depression. Some people, it's OCD and tics. So that's, again, where we're looking at our unique susceptibility, or our unique presentation, even with a similar underlying contributing factor. And so that's really where like the symptoms come into play, is the symptoms are showing us the susceptibility. And so I think sometimes it can be one of those things where with homeopathy, we're trying to be as simple as we possibly can. And we're just looking at what the body is telling us, and we're responding to what the body is telling us, and giving a homeopathic remedy that is indicated based off of what the body's showing us. And we have tried to like turn our body into the systems of like pumps and levers and whatever, and like chunking it apart. And like the reality is it's all together. It's what happens in one part is affected by others, and they're all connected. And it's all part of that same overall susceptibility to the specific response. And the symptoms are just the outward presentation of that susceptibility, showing us what we need to do. And if we can address the symptoms to nudge the body in the right direction, we can help the body heal. So
it took some time to get Avery there. It was an extreme test of patience, but literally I would do it 7 more times if it meant getting her to where she's at right now. And this is, I think this, you know, getting our kids through this journey is a hard thing to do. It's not harder than doing PANS. It's just a lot of patience and persistence and unlearning and learning. But to be, there is not a day that goes by where I don't recognize where her susceptibility being improved or better, or however you say it, is having a positive impact on her life. And that goes for my younger daughter too. Like, I would do these journeys over and over again in order to get where they are today, because they don't, they're healthy and they're happy. And we don't have to worry about what's coming next, or what, you know, we don't have to obsess over the diet. We don't have to worry about, you know, going to school when everybody's got strep or COVID or whatever it might be. It's just, it's so worth the journey and the time and the effort and the energy and all of those things to be able to not carry the weight of what's next.
Yeah, I agree. It took my personal healing journey took quite some time, and I'm still on it for parts of it, right? Like, I've got some stuff that, you know, my likely PANS diagnosis is in the past, but I've got some stuff that it was pre-existing that's, you know, still working my way through. And I'm also, you know, at a stage in my life where things are shifting that are changing my susceptibility or that are like challenging me. So things are coming up that just need some little bit of help, because that happens, right? Like, I'm not perfect because I went through my own healing journey with homeopathy. There's certain things I don't have to worry about. It doesn't mean I don't have anything I'm ever going to have to worry about. That said, it's still so much better. It's 100% it's worth it. And I wasn't sure all along the way that I was going to feel that way, but absolutely it is. So I'm fighting the urge to talk about like the like primary and secondary action of homeopathy. Maybe we'll do an entire episode on that. And I don't remember. I think we might have already done one about how homeopathy works, that we should probably reference our episode about how homeopathy works, just for anybody who I might have been just like reading your mind about like, okay, well, it addresses susceptibility, but how? So we don't really have time today to get into all of the specific details. But if there's anybody who wants to hear more about that, let us know. We'll let you know how to get in touch with us at the end today.
I'm giggling because I feel like I'm sitting here thinking, okay, we don't want this episode to be super long, but there's like a million different, like we could keep going down different, like talking about like, you know, healing in different stages of life and how homeopathy can support that, because we're not like, you know, there's just so many things that happen in our lives, and how beautiful is it that we have homeopathy to help us through all of those stages, and that it can, this one medicine can help us through all of these different stages. Anyways, I'm not going to go all the way down that road, but I just feel like we could just keep going in different directions literally all day long, but nobody wants to listen to an all day long podcast.
Right. That said, if there are things that we have either touched on or that you've sparked like a question, we would love to hear from you, because your questions help make sure that we are making this podcast as useful for you as possible. Our vision with doing this podcast was to bring together the information that people need when it comes to understanding PANS and PANDAS, getting access to the resources they need, understanding things, how to make the next right decision for their families. And so that's why we've brought on the experts that we have. And when it comes to homeopathy, like, it can be really confusing. We don't want to go into this like super, super wonky space. That's what the Facebook group is for. So if you really love that and want to be in the super wonky space, join our Facebook group. Links in the show notes, as always. That said, if there's enough interest in getting a little bit more into the details about homeopathy, how it works, and different ways to things to expect during the healing journey, we're here for it. We just don't want to drag you into that space if that's not really where you need to be. So let us know if that's where you would like to go. There's all the ways to contact us are in the show notes and at the end of the episode. So any final thoughts for our listeners about this concept of susceptibility and how important it is to get off of that medication merry-go-round, that medication and supplement merry-go-round where things stop work, they work great and then they stop working, and then you have to change it up, or if they, you know, to take things forever and ever and ever, because if you stop, then everything comes right back because you were just palliating or forcing biochemistry instead of addressing that susceptibility to these symptoms. Anything else we should share?
Give yourself grace if you don't understand susceptibility yet. It took me I think, 3 years to understand susceptibility. But also, if you're still asking why is this happening? Why is this coming back? What is the root problem? Continue to pursue learning about susceptibility, because it's the end all answer to all of this. So I just encourage you to keep trying to learn about it and understand it. And those of you that are on the journey are going to be starting the journey, to keep pursuing it, because it is the most amazing thing, seeing what susceptibility change actually looks like in your child's body in everyday life. It is worth every single second of the journey. So keep getting at it.
All right. And we'll leave it there. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye, guys. We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.